Mr. Bryan, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I am John Briley. I am appearing here on behalf of Brian Davis. I was also appointed to represent, by virtue of appointment by this court, I was also appointed to the district court to represent him from the time of his first appearance at the presentment. We submit that this matter is fairly simplistic. It's a question of whether or not there is anything of evidentiary value in the record that would support the conclusion by Judge Sullivan that the enhancement for brandishing a weapon was appropriate.
What's our standard of review? Isn't it clearly erroneous?
Yes, I believe it's clearly erroneous.
All right. That's a pretty high standard when he heard testimony from, or heard both from the teller and from the defendant, and chose to believe the teller.
There was no testimony by the defense. There was the only
evidence. Didn't he during his allocution ask him for his version of?
Well, he did allocute at the time of sentencing.
Right.
And he did deny it, but that was well after the judge had made his ruling. I mean, the same day, but the judge had already made his ruling that he was going to apply the enhancement. So when Mr. Davis made his statements, the judge had made his ruling and did not have the benefit of judge.
All right. Is that when the judge asked him about what was your intent?
Yes.
Okay.
But the judge's ruling was, in the judge's own term, was what we believe to be erroneous, that he found that a belief on the part of the teller that there might have been a weapon was sufficient to support the enhancement.
Well, the guideline speaks of impression that the object was an instrument capable of inflicting death.
Well,
so I mean, it seems to ask. I think everyone agrees it's an objective standard, but it depends upon the impression created for presumably a reasonable person.
Well, Judge Williams, I submit that the court is, what the way you stated, is a somewhat of a waffle, because if there's an impression, the impression is subjective. If there's conduct that leads to the impression, then the conduct is objective. The only
I think you're right in terms of the phrasing of the guideline, but in terms of what the court did, it seems to me, looked at objective evidence as to what the behavior described, the impression that the behavior described would create in the mind of a reasonable person, which is the way the judge worded it.
Yeah, well, there was no dispute about the behavior that was described by the teller. There was.
So it's just a question of characterizing it in terms of the effect it would have on the mind of a reasonable bank teller.
Exactly. And all of the cases that have come close to or have considered the same question and have come to the conclusion that the government is trying to, has been, got obtained from Judge Sullivan and is trying to support in this court, all of those cases included conduct by the perpetrator that, under an objective standard, created the belief. There was, in one case.
That's what Judge Sullivan found. I'm not sure what you're driving at.
Well, the conduct, I'm not sure. Well, the judge, I submit that the record supports, the only conclusion that the record supports is that Judge Sullivan applied the enhancement because he concluded that a belief on the part of the teller that there might have been a weapon would have supported, was sufficient for to uphold the enhancement. And I submit that is,
well, I mean,
that is totally subjective.
I guess you didn't parse the exact degree of probability, right?
Well, Judge Sullivan actually cross-examined the teller,
right,
or questioned the teller as much as anybody, and he dwelled and came back several times to what was, you're asking the teller, what was her state of mind.
I mean, isn't the idea basically that even a less than 50% chance that someone is wielding a weapon is sufficiently terrifying that we really want to discourage, we Congress
and the
Commission really want to discourage that.
Yeah, I don't think that we would quarrel with that standard, but in this case, there was a zero probability. The only overt conduct on the part of Mr. Davis. So
I thought you agreed before the district judge that you would have been scared to death.
Yes, I would. I believe. I've submitted what the government asked Judge Sullivan to do. What Judge Sullivan did was to uphold the principle that any robbery could be converted into an armed robbery if the victim says, I was scared to death that the person had a weapon.
I don't think it was based on what the victim's description of her state of mind. It was the victim's description of the conduct of the defendant.
But the conduct of the defendant was limited to having a backpack and having his hand in the backpack. She said,
And more than that, gesturing with the hand in the backpack, putting the backpack up on the ledge and gesturing, right? It wasn't the mere fact that he had his hand in the backpack.
Well, I think the court, Judge Sullivan, over-exaggerated what that actually stood for. I don't think there was much of a gesture. He had his hand in the backpack. The teller testified.
Well, what would a reasonable teller think the hand in the backpack meant?
When you couple it with
hurry up,
and it goes down into the wrist.
Room in the backpack to put the money.
That's what a reasonable teller would think.
That's one possibility, but
it's a possibility. Yes. But is it unreasonable for a teller to think that maybe there's a gun in there?
No, it's not. I don't think that's unreasonable at all. The whole point is that a subjective?
No, we're not talking about reasonable.
Is that an objective standard?
Would it be unreasonable for a teller to think that?
No, it would not be unreasonable. No. But that I submit is totally subjective. That's a beauty is in the eye of the beholder conclusion.
I'm sorry. When I used the word reasonable, I was referring to an objective standard. Would it be objectively reasonable for a teller to think that? And the judge Sullivan thought.
I might want to propose the court go to the standard of the traditional legal standard of the reasonable man. What would a reasonable man conclude from a gesture?
I would duck.
Judge Sullivan was applying.
Yeah. Pardon?
That seemed to be exactly what Judge Sullivan was applying.
Well, I don't agree with that conclusion, Your Honor. I believe Judge Sullivan applied the enhancement because he relied on the teller's testimony that I had a belief that there was possibly a gun. I am not sure, the teller repeatedly said, and she's not sure Mr. Davis said at that time. She said at some point in time he said something about hurry up, but she did not explicitly say that he made that statement as he had his hand in the backpack. And as I argued in the lower court, having a hand in the backpack is not much different than somebody like myself putting my hand in my pocket.
Right. We have cases where you have a hand in the pocket and you make a gesture, a threatening gesture, and you get the enhancement here.
Well, I would agree that that would be a stronger case than what this court has before it now. I don't believe that.
I'm sorry. You were the one that made the comparison.
Yes, but I don't believe, to go to the end of your factual scenario, Judge Griffith, I don't believe that the teller said that there was a in and out gesture with the hand. She said
there was movement. It's not as if, am I right? He didn't just put his hand in the backpack and keep it there. There was movement of the hand in the backpack.
I don't believe the teller said that. I don't think the record supports that. I will check while the government is arguing so I can find the exact word.
Okay,
I don't believe the teller said that. She said the hand was in the backpack. I didn't see the hand. I couldn't see the fingers. And this is a far different conduct than what other courts have considered when perpetrators said with...
Judge Sullivan certainly thought there was a reaching into the bag. He says he wasn't going into his bag to reach for some donuts.
Well, but that was the judge. I mean, that's not evidence.
I understand, but I don't have the text or her testimony right in front of me at the right page at this moment, but he certainly got the impression that that was what she was describing.
Well, I submit that Judge Sullivan was working this through, was mentally working this through to try and figure out what, whether or not there was, he could reasonably agree with the government's argument that this was a brandishing of a weapon. And so he was speculating.
The witness says he made a gesture like if he was going to pull something out.
Well, that's a...
That's the witness. That's not the judge.
Right, yeah. That's the witness.
J.A. 14.
Rule out donuts.
Okay, but that's an as-if statement. I mean, that is not...
Well, here's the court. And tell me, what did he do, the witness? He made a gesture like if he was going to pull something out. The court, right. All right. So his hand is in there, and he did what? He pulled back or something? The witness, yes. He didn't just have his hand. He wasn't just warming his hand in the backpack. That's what...
Well, I submit, again, that's subjective. The teller is testifying as to what she concluded, not that the, not like these other cases where the perpetrator made gestures and then made statements, threatening statements, in support of his request for money. I would point out that this was really not much of a threatening demand note. The demand note said, I'm here to make a $2,500 withdrawal. So there was absolutely, except for this ambiguous gesture.
No alarms, no die packs. That's not threatening. It was a robbery, right?
That's not clearly it's a robbery, yes.
But a gentleman robbery.
A gentleman robbery, yes. So if the court doesn't have any, I would like to reserve some time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas?
May it please the court, my name is L. Jackson Thomas, and I represent the United States in this appeal.
Can I ask you, Mr. Thomas, are there any cases that have held brandishing in the absence of a threat and just assume that saying no die, no alarm is not a threat?
Judge Henderson, I think Dixon is the case where there is no threat uttered. I think in Dixon, Dixon is the getaway driver, but sends the brother and sister into the bank in Pittsburgh,
okay.
And the sister is standing with the towel wrapped around her hand.
Okay.
I don't recall that there was a threat uttered in that.
Neither one of them said anything. Just, of course, the towel that looks like the gun.
Right.
There's enough of them.
Right. And that is the threat. Is our position.
Oh, okay.
I think that...
You're saying the hiding of the hand is the threat itself.
Well, it's the totality of the circumstance. I mean, let's start with...
The robbery.
It's bank robbery,
right, yeah.
Okay? Secondly, and one of the things that the court says in Dixon is that Dixon, who is the getaway driver and not in the bank, has to accept the proposition that people are going to anticipate that a day like bank robbery is going to involve armed deadly force. And so that's kind of the stage that's set that the bank robber walks into. Then, in this case, there's the demand for $2,500 and the warning, don't include the die pack and don't set off that alarm. Even then, the teller is reasonably even handed here and thinking about it and is recounting the money and balking and stalling. And it's at that point that, and I think that's important that it's at that point, that appellant picks up the backpack, puts it in front of her, sticks his hand in it, and as Your Honor pointed out, Judge Griffith, pulls his hand back slightly and as if to say, hurry up, and then says, just give me the money. I think it's that total circumstance, and that's exactly what Judge Sullivan looked at, was the totality of the circumstances that suggested that this was a dangerous weapon within
the
definition.
The teller says that she was stalling. I don't recall anywhere where she described how much time.
I don't think she describes how much time. She does say, though, that she started counting the money and then lost count and started counting the money again. Now, whether that was purposeful or not, the record's not clear. And it's in the midst, the impression I got was that it's in the midst of this recounting that appellant's had enough and says, listen, you know, I'm serious, give me the money. So our position...
Now, just to be clear, he didn't say any of those things.
No, no, he does not, no.
Put the backpack on the ledge, okay.
He puts the backpack there. She says that when he pulls his hand back slightly, and she says as though he were saying, hurry up. What he does say is, give me the money. So our position is that Judge Sullivan did not err in applying the guideline definitions for either brandishing or dangerous weapon, and that in this case, Judge Sullivan used an objective standard. He asked the prosecutor what standard applied, asked if it was objective, if it was subjective, or whether it mattered. The prosecutor suggested that it was an objective standard, which was the higher of the standards. The court then read a newspaper article where people were saying what was said in Dixon, that people aren't going to wait around to see if there's an actual gun, that there's a proliferation of bank robberies in which people where actual guns are not actually present. And then Judge Sullivan turned to Mr. Briley and said, Mr. Briley, how do you see this circumstance? And he said, well, I'd be troubled in that circumstance too. So it's not that the judge relied on Ms. Autry's testimony. The judge looked at a broader spectrum to try to determine what was objective. And for that reason...
Well, there's nothing wrong with his looking at the teller's reaction. I mean, and then deciding that was reasonable.
There's nothing wrong with that, Your
right.
Honor.
I mean, you know, he listened to her, and it would be... You know, it would be like any reasonable man standard. You listen to the testimony of the witness and you tell the jury, you know, is that a reasonable man's reaction or actions or whatever? So
in this case, there was nothing wrong with that. But in another case, just looking at the teller's reaction may suffice. Mm-hmm. Unless the court has further questions, we'll submit. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Briley, you have 3 minutes.
Hopefully, I don't need to use all of it. I just wanted to call the court's attention to what the teller said at page 13 of the transcript. And she said, when the court asked her about her testimony, that she did not clear that she saw a weapon because that's what she had reported in her telephone call. She said, I could have seen whatever I wanted to see at that point. And I submit that is the crux of Mr. Davis's argument to this court, and that this is a subjective standard, and the enhancement was applied because and only because of the teller's reaction. Whether or not that is, you know, a reasonable reaction or not a reasonable reaction, it's still a very subjective situation.
You don't think if you were standing in line next to him and knew what was going on that you would duck when he put his hand in the backpack? With full knowledge, you're sitting here watching the whole thing going on, you've seen the note pass, he puts his hand in the backpack, you wouldn't flinch or...
Well, I would be concerned, but that's, again, that's a subjective situation. I think that we already have
it. Would it be unreasonable for you to be concerned?
No, that's very reasonable for me to be concerned. I think
that's not subjective.
Well, I submit that. We're at loggerheads right now. That I would point out that when the note was passed, and when Mr. Davis indicated that he was in a bit of a hurry, he never said anything to the teller. Said, "Let's move with this." He never said something like "or else." He never did anything that indicated there could be a consequence if she didn't ultimately comply with the note. So I would ask the court to reverse this, remand this matter for resentencing. I would point out to the court that what's at stake here is a minimum of 8 months and a maximum of 20 months, the difference between what the sentence would have been imposed without the enhancement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Browder. You were appointed to represent the defendant, and we thank you for your efforts.
You're welcome, Your Honor. Good day.